Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir with Maria Wilson Duff. Maria, how are you doing?
I'm trying to get woke up. What about yourself?
Well, I'm awake, but I'm starving. I've got some awesome Vietnamese food waiting for me after the show. I can't wait.
Oh, I've never had that. Any kind.
Nope.
None of it. Never.
Have you ever had, like, Thai or anything like that?
Nope. I live a sheltered life.
Oh, my. You're missing out.
Anybody talked about, let's go get something to eat, and it's either steaks or tacos. As long as there's tequila involved, I'm all for it. But, yes, I've never been to any of those types of restaurants.
Well, steak and tacos, those happen to be my favorite things. But us poor folks up in the Northwest, you know, we can't afford the porterhouse steaks and Gucci tacos.
This is why you raise beef cattle, son. I got to teach you some things.
So what's been going on your week, last week?
It's been an interesting week at work. Very busy. Auditors. Everybody loves auditors to come into their workplace, and these are internal auditors. We do this to ourselves on purpose, but then other than that, then I've spent the rest of the weekend trying. We had beautiful weather here in Kentucky, and I've worked outside, mowed the yard, and washed windows, and did all kinds of things, and today I started out doing the same, and then the temperature went from 71 to 35, so I came back inside.
Wow. Yeah, I know auditing well. I used to be an auditor when I got my first laboratory job. It was like a regional laboratory, big and busy. It eventually made me an auditor, and I had to check everybody's work. And then every time somebody made a mistake, they'd have these like neon green forms you would fill out, you know, with the mistake, and you'd have to walk it over to the person, and they would have to fix it. So anytime I get up to hand somebody their mistake, you know, everybody looks up to see, you know, where you're going. No one likes the auditor. Terrible.
No, but they're all very nice to you, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, it was kind of fun. But I haven't really, as usual, I haven't really been paying too much to the paranormal. I know we're going to talk a little bit about UFOs tonight. Probably tell a few of my UFO stories, and I think that's the plan, kind of a continuation of the Jason Ophir bio. It's all about me, it's all about I, it's all about
I love that song. But yes, you kind of left us with a little cliffhanger there in the very, very last little bit of the show, and I kind of think you did that on purpose.
That's intentional. There's so much to talk about with UFOs, and I was kind of just picking little tidbits here and there because we were running out of time. So I'm pleased that we're going to talk about UFOs. It is my favorite subject. I find it the most fascinating because I think that people don't ever look up at the skies, and that's why we don't see as much as we do. If we start looking up, I think people would see more. And there's definitely strange stuff flying around there. Now, whether or not they're aliens from other planets, in most cases, probably not. You know, our government's been working on all sorts of technologies, and who knows what the government's creating that we're not aware of that could be misidentified as UFOs. But yeah, so it's an interesting subject.
That is correct. There's so much different lights in the skies, and that's what a lot of people you hear about are these strange lights that are in the sky. I have to tell you about an interesting UFO case that I worked, and it had a video attached to it, and they didn't understand what they were looking at, so they, of course, you know, you take videos of what you don't understand to submit it to get people's opinions. The what they were watching was the planet Venus, and it was the cloud cover that was making it look as if it was moving, but
it wasn't.
Yes, kind of like when you're in a vehicle, and that was the mistake. You're in a vehicle and you're driving down the road, and you think something is there, and then the clouds cover it up, and then it pops back up. They just didn't understand what they were looking at, so they submitted that for a UFO case, and of course, it was the planet Venus, because something that stays in the sky stationary, but yet it moves with the Earth's rotation, because they watched this for a couple of hours as they were driving. So, you know,
what if it wasn't really? There's a lot of truth that is right.
It could have been a UFO stationed itself in front of the planet Venus to make everybody think that it was a planet. You know, there's always that scenario.
What if the planet Venus actually is a UFO and we're about to be invaded by Venetians?
As alarms are going off at your house, what's going on?
That's a sound effect. That's the best I could do for aliens. Wait. This could be an alien right here. Alien. Please don't abduct me. No probes.
I don't know if you've seen these T-shirts online or not, but it's got a picture of a UFO, and it says, "Get in, loser. We're doing butt stuff."
damn rectal probes. Why do they do that?
Exactly.
And are they following sanitary conditions? Do they autoclave their instruments? Like, what if, you know, giving everybody some sort of C. diff?
Well, you were talking about Venus, maybe it's actually a UFO, but there's a lot of talk about the moon being hollow and it being actually just harboring a whole different alien race.
I've heard a lot about that, and I think, anything's possible. I'm not one of these moon conspiracy theorists, but I heard a lot of things like, when one of the boosters came off, I don't know, the LEM or whatever it is that they landed on there, it hit the moon with such force and it resonated as if the moon was hollow. Then, of course, you have a lot of people at home with these telescopes and they're focused on the moon. And you do see these weird things over the surface of the moon that are cruising by. It wouldn't surprise me if there's some sort of activity going on the moon. I mean, that would be a perfect base. I mean, if we're like hamsters on Earth, some sort of alien experiment, that'd be a great place to observe us from.
Oh, definitely. There's also, you know, there's a lot of talk about the time travel, that they'll take people from here and they go to the moon, and then from the moon, and I'm talking about our government right now, but then they'll take you from the moon to the Mars, and it's all done in a blink of an eye, and it's all very interesting. If you look to see anything that you could completely imagine, there's a story out there about it with our government involved.
Yep. So I have some breaking news that just came across the wire right now. I just received a message. It's a legitimate message I just received from one of the listeners, and he said that he had four UFOs come out of his butt this morning. Now, you might want to see a doctor about that, listener, because that sounds pretty serious.
Yeah.
Oh, I love our listeners.
You have, yes, they are wonderful.
Oh, God. So, yeah, so UFOs, great subject. So much conspiracy. And I wanted to mention, you know, some of the history going back with UFOs. And the reason I think that probably the majority of what people see are probably classified government projects is back in the early days when they were developing the SR-71 Blackbird. I believe it was initially called the Oxcart. That's that huge, long, beautiful black supersonic whatever plane. It goes like Mach 3 or 4. It was used for surveillance.
Yes.
I think it was decommissioned in maybe the 80s. I think,
yeah,
I think it was developed in the 50s and 60s. So they were flying that thing around, and people were seeing it, and they weren't sure what it was, and it looked so different from everything else. So people report UFOs. Same thing with the F-117 stealth fighter and all these things. So it wouldn't surprise me, you know, if the government does have things that are going around in the skies that are, you know, we aren't readily able to identify, that don't look like conventional craft. And people think are being piloted by alien beings when, in fact, it's probably just the Air Force.
Well, that's true. And that goes along with a lot of conspiracy theories that down through the years, and then you hear and you study and research about this one theory, and 30 years down the road, it's confirmed that it was actually true, that it actually did happen, and then everybody that thought you were nuts over these last 30 years, they still don't believe that it's true, what you're telling them is true. And, you know, they don't want to listen. It's just everything that everybody wants to believe. But that's just like the Black Triangle UFOs. And all the stories that you hear from witnesses and the things that they've seen and how slow it went and how there was no noise, well, you know, that's a military aircraft, the TR-3B. So until we get to see those and it is actually flown in the sky and the government tells everybody to look up, oh, look, here we are. This is what you've been seeing for the last 20 years. Nobody is going to believe that this information is out there. Now,
and
it could be that these were actual UFOs and now our government has duplicated this. And so now you're going to have a government airplane or aircraft, and then you're going to have the UFOs that they match. So what are you looking at, a military aircraft, or are you looking at a UFO?
And that's the sad thing, is I don't know that we're ever going to know it. There's so much secrecy behind it, and we just live in a world where everybody has to be so secret, and everything's got to be classified, state secrets. You know, we want to be more powerful than the, you know, other countries, and we have to have the best weapons and stay ahead of the curve. And I don't know that secrecy ever will really be lifted. Now, I know some stuff's going on. Some of the UFO sightings make it to mainstream news, and you got this ex-defense minister up in Canada saying that it's all real. But I don't know that there's ever going to be complete disclosure. I don't even know if people are prepared for that. I mean, can you imagine saying, yeah, aliens exist, they are visiting our planet, hopefully not abducting us. Maybe in a way it's smart not to let us know. Sometimes ignorant is bliss. In this case, it may be. But personally, for me, I would want to know. I want to know what the hell's going on.
Yes, but you've had your experiences. I've had my experiences with paranormal, with UFOs, things like that. So anything that they tell us, it's not going to send us into shock. It's not going to upheave our whole life and our whole lifestyle. We're just going to sit back and go, we told you, we're not crazy. We do know this stuff happens. But it would be so devastating to the majority of the population of the world, and especially in North America. It would send the Wall Street into a down spiral, and people would just be losing their minds.
Especially religion, you know, that would, I don't know a lot about religion, but I would imagine that would kind of create a lot of waves within religion. If we are not the center of the universe and there are more advanced beings out there, I could see that creating some issues.
Yeah. Well, there you go with people who, a lot of people experience some kind of alien forces and they think it's a demon. You know, they're being abducted, but they think it's a demon. So they don't know. And some people have angelic experiences with ET. So, you know, maybe like with the paranormal field, when you're speaking of ghosts and spirits and things like that, your mind sees what it can handle. If it's not going to drive you insane, maybe that's the only way you can comprehend it, because this is something you've never experienced before. So your mind protects itself, and therefore it will project whatever vision in your to keep your sanity. That makes sense to you?
Yeah, okay. I've heard of that before, like screen memories. When something so traumatic happens, your mind kind of fabricates a different experience to cover it up. I've heard of that before.
Children that get lost in the woods and 3 or 4 days later, they report that a bear took care of them, or a big black dog, things like that. There's been reports of different animals, but usually it's either a bear or a big black dog. So is it Bigfoot? Is it some other majestical creature that's running around in our national forest that we know nothing about? Who knows? But that's what people, doctors and things say, is that the children are just, this is how they're seeing it, so that's what they're believing.
I was raised by unicorns, so I can relate.
Oh, my Lord. Did Skittles fall out of the sky for you, too?
Yes, and they farted rainbows. God, I love Skittles.
Detail.
Speaking of Skittles, I don't eat candy hardly ever, and I was just feeling the need. I got to get me some Skittles, so I went to the hospital gift shop and got me some Skittles. Damn, those Skittles are good. Now I think I'm starting to get a Skittle addiction.
Uh-oh. Have you had the Starburst jelly beans?
No, but I like jelly beans.
I'll get you some. I'll get those. You won't go back to Skittles. Ever.
Really?
Oh, they're delicious. It's just like eating a Starburst, except it's in a jelly bean.
Amazing. You know, we could sponsor whoever manufactures that if they want to send us free cases of, you know, those jelly beans. That'd be great.
Oh, it would be wonderful. I have a question for you.
Oh, sure.
So if your friend your listener sent you a message and said that 4 UFOs come out of his butt today. Did they turn into USOs, the unidentified submergible objects?
Yeah. I want to know the answer. That's right. Oh, he's probably listening. He was in queue. I was going to take his call, but he hung up. So yes, if he's listening, please call me back. Did those UFOs turn into USOs? Unidentified submersible object. So it's just a fascinating subject. And so my interest in it began, I was probably 16. I was going to a boarding school in Northern California. And I probably mentioned this school the last time I talked. It was a summer camp during the summer. in a school. So, I mean, it was basically going to school at summer camp. It was freaking awesome. And I caught a steelhead with my hands. It was just amazing, just being out in nature and doing all that. Yeah, I got in trouble for it, but it was pretty amazing. It was in shallow water, and I kicked it and stunned it, but we ended up eating it. But then I got in trouble because apparently that was, like, illegal or something. You know, you're a kid. You don't think about licenses and all that. But so that's when I started to see, you know, I don't want to say they're aliens. I don't know. But I saw the same thing several times, and it was just really weird. And I mentioned this on the previous show. They're like these bright white orbs, large, and they would just slowly descend from the sky. And then one time I saw them kind of go parallel behind the trees, traveling slowly. And I saw that three different times. And, you know, in clear skies, you know, I'm familiar with the ball lightning and all that. I don't think it was that. And it's very rural, so it wasn't like a plane dropping flares. It was nothing like that. And so I saw that three times, and that kind of sparked my interest, thinking, you know, maybe UFOs. And then my friend that went to school there, he had a copy back when Communion, the book written by Whitley Strieber that was made into a movie. Do you know which book I'm talking about?
Yes. I can't think of the name of it, though.
Yeah, it was called Communion, and so I read that, and that got me all freaked out.
Yeah.
You know, you're out in the middle, you're living in cabins by yourself at night, and you're reading Communion, and, you know, talking about alien abduction, and that just got me completely weirded out. It was strange, and so a lot of weird stuff happened out there. I don't know if it could be attributed to the land, maybe some weird portals or vortexes or whatever, but it was just a very, very odd but beautiful place. And that's kind of really where my interest in the paranormal began, was out there. And I did visit it many years later, but this is a long, long time ago. And something weird happened that I always wondered about. So I was, you know, this was maybe when I'm in my mid-20s, I visited there, and it was just me and this other guy, and it was at nighttime, and, you know, it's a 400-acre place, you know, it's got a big dining hall with a kitchen, then you have all the cabins that everybody lived in, and something weird, and it's always kind of bothered me. What happened was it was late at night, and I was standing outside, and I was looking at what I thought was like, it looked like a star, but it was like moving. I could see it descending, you know, behind the trees. And it was kind of creeping me out. And as time went on, I kind of went back into the dining hall, and my buddy just went to sleep on the couch. And I think I was psyching myself up. I was getting more and more freaked out because of the weird light outside, you know, and in my wild imagination, I'm thinking the grays are going to start coming through the windows, you know. So I was getting freaked out, and like I was like, he's asleep on this couch, and I'm like trying to wake him up. I couldn't wake him up, and so I was getting more and more freaked out, and I'm like, I didn't know what to do. You know, the lights are on and everything. It's a big dining hall, and I can't wake this guy up. I'm psyching myself up, and I made the most irrational decision ever, and I don't know why I made this decision. I left the safety and company of him in this dining hall and ran and hid in one of the cabins. The weird thing is I don't remember anything once I got inside the cabin. And why would I make that decision? That's the dumbest thing you could do. Leave the light, leave the only other person there, and go hide in some dark cabin. Why did I do that? It makes no sense.
That was a survival instinct, and apparently where you were didn't feel safe.
I don't know. It's just, I mean, I was younger. It just is not the rational thing to do. I mean, if I was getting so freaked out, I should have just hid, you know, under a desk or something. And the weird thing is I remember getting to the cabin and getting inside the cabin, but then it just gets all fuzzy and I don't remember anything else. So I don't know.
All right,
maybe nothing happened.
Well,
maybe.
How long was it? What was the time period from when you got to the cabin and then to when you remembered where you were?
I distinctly remember going in the cabin, but I don't remember anything after that. It's like there's nothing. It's like my memory was wiped. And I don't even remember what the scenario the following day. It was just weird.
So what was the time difference? Do you remember that? Like how many hours passed or minutes?
I don't remember. It's like the whole night disappeared.
Right.
I am not saying it's aliens. I don't know why I would have made that decision. Like, what if it was aliens? You know, what are they like getting inside my brain?
Yeah, that decision was made for you. I mean, you couldn't wake him up. So that decision was made for you.
Yeah, it was really, really odd. And so that was kind of one of the things that just kind of, I think that might have been like a hot spot for UFOs. It was in a town, it was just outside a town called Boonville, California, which is in the very northern part. And what's that?
No, I was just going to say that whole area up through there, I mean, you think about everything that happens. I mean, that's a lot of forests and towns in the middle of trees. I mean, it's almost rural, but there's a lot of big towns.
Yeah, I think at the time when I was there, Boonville, I think it was maybe 2 or 3 miles away. And I think at the time, there was just a town of only a few hundred people. So it was, I mean, it wasn't like out in the middle of nowhere, but it was, you know, it wasn't like living in the city, that's for sure.
That's where stuff happens.
I know, right? So that's kind of where my whole interest in UFOs. And then, so I eventually, not a whole lot, I can't remember a whole lot of strangeness going on out there. Other than that, so I moved to Oregon, in Northern Oregon. And one of the stories that I didn't mention the last time is there was something really weird that happened. And it was with, do you remember I was talking about that object that I found that was tested and it was never identified?
Yes.
And should I recap that? Because people, if they didn't listen to that.
Yes, do.
Okay, so basically, what happened was me and my friend went out and was drinking some home brews at a buddy's house, and I don't think there was any, like, hallucinogenic fungus or anything that caused this whole thing, but we went home, and I started to get a really creepy feeling as we got closer, and we lived in a double-wide trailer that was on a one-lane runway. This is no tower, no electronics for ultralights, whatever. And we got home, and as we got on our street, I started to feel like something, like a sense of impending doom. Something really weird was going to happen. And I told my roommate about it, and she stopped the car. She's like, yeah, something just feels off. And then we ended up pulling into our driveway. And as we got out of the car, I saw this light above our trailer. Like, it was in the clouds. It was overcast. And this huge light hovering above our trailer. And just as soon as I'm registering it in my brain, the thing shoots off, and the way I've always described it is like one of those opening premiere lights for like movies, you know, that go back and forth. It was like that, and it just shot off, and there's no spotlights out there or anything, so it makes no sense. So we go up there. The door's unlocked, which was weird because we had a lot of birds, and I open the door, and all the animals are acting very strangely. And I walk in, and the air felt thick. It felt like there was a presence in there. And so I thought maybe somebody was broken in, you know. That was my thought. I didn't think of aliens or anything like that. So I searched the trailer. There's nothing there. And I, you know, we still just chalked it up as just the long night or whatever. So I go into my room, take off my shoes. I start to walk out, and I step on something, and there's a huge lump in the carpet, a huge lump. I mean, we're talking, you know, a foot across. That wasn't there when we left 3 hours earlier. So I call my roommate. I'm like, what the hell is this? And she's tripping out about it. She's like, this is weird. We got to, you know, figure out what's going on. So she takes a knife, and she cuts this thing open because we're like, we got to figure out why is this thing here. And so she reaches down in this lump and something pokes her finger and she pulls out the strangest metallic object. So hard to even describe. I can't even describe it. It's not something that anybody would recognize. And so we're weirded out and we tried to figure out how this thing got there and there's no explanation. It seemed like the padding under the carpet became super compacted and we were so weirded out by it. And then we started talking about the light above the trailer and then we were like getting all psyched out about it. So we went and we buried this under the runway. We found a little plastic container, put it in it. We didn't know what it was. We didn't want it in the house. We took it out there. We buried it under the runway. I shit you not. Within a day or two, in the middle of the night, at 2 or 3 in the morning, 3 cars pull out on the runway at the opposite end of the runway where we buried this mysterious object. And they got their headlights like pointed and they're acting all cagey. So they eventually leave and we're like, we're going to go see what these people are doing, right? So we go out there to where they were. They installed this metal box on stilts. It was humming. It was vibrating. There was no way to get inside of it. There was no power going to it. Whatever it was self-contained. And so then we were really weirded out. And so we went, we grabbed the object. 2 nights, I'm guesstimating, I don't know. It was shortly thereafter, these people in the middle of the night, they come collect their steel box. You know, we were thinking maybe it's like a transponder or a beacon or something like that. So this is private property. We asked the landlady about it. And she didn't know anything about it. And, you know, maybe this is just a strange coincidence, but it was, I mean, who does that in the middle of the night? You know what I mean? Like,
no,
most people work. Yeah. Most people work 9 to 5. You don't go out and act all weird at 2 or 3 in the morning installing mysterious electronics. So I ended up getting with this researcher in Portland and he was testing it as much as he could. And what they were able to determine, like if you were to dissect it and measure it with a micrometer, I mean, it was down to like 1 micron. Like you're talking minute measurements. It was a precision device is basically what it was. It wasn't that we didn't have the technology to build it. It was just whatever it was created with surgical precision. And then all these, then people were like starting to follow him. People were starting to follow me. People were taking my pictures. It was like out of the X-Files, right?
Yeah.
So eventually it was sent to Whitley Strieber, you know, the best-selling author and that in New York. So he sent it to Texas and it was tested by a lab and they had no idea what it was. So when a laboratory has no idea what it is, You know, it's weird. It's not like somebody just dropped some random weird thing. I mean, like legit,
right. Nobody
knew what this thing was. So this carried on for years. We were talking in code on the phone, me and this local researcher, and he had it secreted away in hiding for years, decades. And just a few months ago, I was like, you know what? I've got to get this object. You know, he's had it for 20 years. You know, I want to get it back. And so I was like doing some Google searches and he had passed away.
Oh, no.
I don't know where he hid it and it's probably gone forever. And I had a lot of files on it with all the testing results and stuff. I've lost those over the year. The only thing I have left of that whole ordeal is a couple pictures. And
at
it was
least you
really,
have those.
Yeah. I got to make sure I don't lose those. But it was just a real weird experience. But there was all sorts of other weird things that happened. And I'm kind of leading into this one story that I didn't mention on the previous show, which was, so me and that same roommate, this was after this all happened. We were driving back from California in our crappy Cadillac. And as we crossed into the state of Oregon, late at night, I mean, we're both tired. I was like, I smoked at the time and I was like, man, we need to get some cigarettes and she needs to get gas. So we pull off around, I think it was Ashland, Oregon. And as we were driving down the freeway about to pull off, there's a sign on the side of the freeway that says like Chevron 3/4 mile down the road. So we pull off the off ramp and right at the end of the off ramp or right close by it, is this gas station, which was weird because the sign on the freeway said it was a ways away and there's the gas stations right there. But none of this at this point had clicked, the difference. We didn't start really thinking about this until this whole experience was all over with. So we pull into this gas station and this attendant comes out, this old guy, and he's acting really, really nice, like super nice, kind of in an odd way, if that makes sense. Not necessarily in a creepy way, it was odd. And so we get the gas, we get the cigarettes, and as I'm sitting there in the car, I see a red car that's parked right there at the gas station, and there's two people sitting in the car. They're staring at me, and I was thinking, God, that's really weird. Why are these people just sitting there staring at me? And so my roommate comes back into the car. She was standing right there. And we start to pull away out of the gas station. And then she remembers, oh, I forgot to I should check the oil. So we hadn't even left the gas station. Basically stops the car and just kind of whips a Yui by the pumps. And this guy, this old super nice guy, comes out again. But his attitude changed. It was like surprise. He was like surprised that we hadn't left, or it was just really off and odd. And so we pull out, she checks the oil, we pull out, we get back on the freeway, and an hour's gone by. And we had only pulled off the freeway, I mean, 5 minutes, and almost an hour's gone by. It was like 50 minutes. And then we started talking about our memory of this gas station, which was pretty much the same except for one key thing. I mentioned to her, I said, I thought it was weird that there were the two people in that red car that was staring at me. And she's like, there was nobody in a red car there. There was no red car there. She said she had thought to herself and said that she thought it was weird that there were no cars there because she was wondering how this old guy got to work. And so she made the mental note of noticing that there was no cars. And I was like, yeah, there was a car there. There were two people sitting in it. And so we just felt really disorientated the whole trip. So something we had lost about 40 minutes, and we have a similar memories. No, and we have similar memories. You know, the only difference is the red car, and it was weird. So what makes this really strange is we talked about it. Very shortly after, we contacted that gas station, and not only did we call the gas station, we at a later time drove into that area. The gas station doesn't exist. Remember I said
Jason.
That the sign... No, remember I said said that the sign said the gas station was a ways down the road? That was correct. There was no gas station right off the freeway there. Crazy.
That is crazy. That is straight out of the X-Files.
I know. So, but we got gas and cigarettes. So do they stock those on UFOs or what?
Well, you know, there's a lot of strange things that do go on. But, yeah, that is one of the most amazing stories I've ever heard.
It was we were weirded out by it. But another interesting thing, that when we had Clyde Lewis, host of Ground Zeroes on over 300 radio stations on here, I had told him about that, and he had actually a similar experience. It wasn't with the gas station. It was with the diner. I think somewhere like Nevada. So those kind of things, apparently I'm not the only one that's had something similar like that. But we went to a phantom ghost station. Now, whether it was UFOs, I don't know. You know, somebody that's being skeptical say, well, you were just fatigued and this and that. Well, maybe, but it was weird.
Yeah, they'll probably skeptics, your skeptical side, if someone was telling you that it wasn't the one that you thought you took. But that is something like a rift in the time or something. Like maybe that gas station was there many, many years ago and isn't now, but for some reason when you, that night, that exact time, it was there and you were able to use the facilities. And maybe that's why that guy was mad. He was closing up and you turned back around and you were supposed to be gone. I don't know, but there's that's something straight out of a Stephen King novel.
Yeah, I know. It was totally weird. I mean, yeah, maybe it was just some tear in the fabric of time-space continuum. I know I've heard a lot of weird things that have happened down there. It's a very weird area. It's not like an area that doesn't have anything strange happen. I've heard of reports of other strange things happening in that area. And you mentioned that, well, maybe we got the exit wrong. I've traveled up that road many, many times, and I've never seen that gas station. And I'm looking
right for
it. Yeah.
Right. But anytime, whenever you have something that happens to you, there's always some skeptic going, oh, well, didn't know where you were. And you do. That's why it's always so hard to make somebody believe what's actually going on, because there's too many people that don't want to wrap their minds around that something like that actually does happen.
Yeah. This is a weird thing. Like I said, I don't know if it was aliens, but the missing time has me a little concerned.
Well, did you have any marks or some kind of odd goo on you somewhere?
I was covered in green slime. Not that I remember, but it wasn't like we went home and I was like, hey, roommate, here, let me take my clothes off. Can you search me for scoop marks? I don't even think we did that.
Well, if you did that, then that's a party. But anyway.
Yeah. No, I don't. I could have. I don't know. I've got weird marks all over me. So.
Well, and that's something that I think about all the time. You wake up. Somebody will say they wake up and they've got these bruises here, marks there. Depending on what your day. Before or whatever, I know I have bumped myself or done something and work because I work hard. I do physical labor a lot, and I wake up with weird bruises and scratch marks. And if anything was to ever to happen to me, like it has you, I wouldn't be able to differentiate between what I did working outside the day before and then what had happened to me during the night.
And that's kind of the way I am. I mean, I see weird marks on me all the time, but I don't say, oh, I think I was abducted. I probably just bumped my knee on something or something like that.
Right. But I do know that the marks from abductees and things like that are completely different than something that you or I would encounter on a daily basis. So it just depends on what's been going on, but... Yeah, you've had quite a few interesting things to happen to you.
Yeah, and since we're talking about marks, I have had some marks that I've really wondered about, and pronounced marks like scars across my back that looks like I had just been I'd been misbehaving in North Korea and got caned, like really pronounced, really. Really pronounced.
Wow.
They're probably still visible. And I was like, I noticed them one night. I mean, this was decades ago. I was like, took a shower and I just like turned and looked at the mirror and I was like, what on earth happened to my back? And deep scars. I'm not talking about like stretch marks. It was like, and
right.
So I showed my parents and they were like mystified. And I was like showing some doctors and they're like, yeah, these are deep scars. I have no memory of any. I'm not talking about one scar. I'm talking all the way from the center of my back to the top of my ass.
How old were you when you recognized them?
That was probably, maybe 18, 19, something like that. They're probably still visible, too. And they were
you would remember something like that for sure.
Yeah, I would think so. It was almost like this overnight thing where it just showed up, and I swear it looked like I had just been brutally tortured. But I don't know, even if there was some weird extraterrestrial explanation, like there's just why my back and why so many? I mean, we're talking maybe a dozen 4-inch scars on my back on both sides of my spine. And then, yeah. It was really weird.
Sounds like you were maybe your alternate self from a different dimension came. You all swapped places. That could happen. That really could happen. You never know. You never know.
It could have an explanation. It's easy to reach out to the paranormal every time you can't explain something. So it may have an explanation. Although I can't explain the gas station other than, okay, maybe it was just a weird thing with fatigue or something. But I definitely can't explain a bunch of shady people coming out and installing an electric box after we buried that thing. That wasn't an imagination. And that object wasn't imaginary, too.
Right. And you being followed and things like that, that you know things like that. That's not paranoia.
Yeah, I used to be a surveillance investigator, which I was being
right.
paid to follow people. So that was my job. I did it all over the country. So I know when you're being followed and when you're not. It actually is a funny story. It's not paranormal. So I was a surveillance investigator traveling the country doing workman's compensation surveillance. They would send me to like New York and all this Chicago, all the terrible places to try and do that line of work. And so a couple of years later, I do a different job. I get hurt and I'm on workman's compensation. And one day I was coming home. I spotted this suspicious person parked out my apartment complex. And I was like, oh, I bet he's going to watch me, right? So I go inside, and I'm like, okay, I got to know if this guy is out here to follow me around. So sure enough, I get in my car. He starts following me around. And so I let him follow me around the town a little bit. You know, I'm trying to be logical about this. I'm trying to be like, okay, you know, maybe this is a weird coincidence because that does happen. You know, some people do make the same turns, stuff like that. So I parked into this sporting goods store parking lot. I get out, I go inside, and this guy parks. He's nowhere near me. He's like in this adjacent complex, you know, 500 yards away. And I was like, okay, this is it. I'm just going to have fun with this. So I went over there, speed up to his car, jump out of my car. I turn the camera on my phone. I start banging on his windows. I mean, all the things that I feared as an investigator. And and I had to position my car a second time. And I think when I did that, he jumped out and ran into one of the businesses because when I was looking at his car, I didn't see him. But it was clearly an investigator's car because I could see his snacks and all this kind of stuff. And so he calls the cops on me. And I ended up running his license plate. And, yeah, it was a company car from an investigation company in California. It was funny. Poor guy. I shouldn't do that because I've been in that boat before, but it was just too easy.
No, yeah, you have to have fun with that. And if he can't do any better than that, then he doesn't need that job.
I'm pretty sure he didn't get the memo that said the guy you're watching was a surveillance investigator, so be real, real, real careful. Like,
right.
Don't park on the street directly in front of his apartment because he will spot you. And sure enough, I did.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like instantly. I instantly spotted him. So anyway, that was fun. I'm such
that's
a terrible
too
person.
Funny. No, no, no. That's just having fun. It's exactly what that is.
But boy, that was a fun job.
Yeah, I bet you missed that.
You know, the worst part about it is sitting in your car all day long. I had one day and the worst day. Well, first of all, I hate flying. And you never knew what you were doing until the day before. So I'd get home from work doing a surveillance out in Oregon, whatever. Check my email and it'd be like New York bound, Chicago bound, like for the next day. And I hate planes. Because as soon as they close the door and we're sitting on the tarmac, I start to get a panic attack. And then I'm fine the rest of the flight. But it's just that initial moment when they close the door and the air kind of gets thick. I go into like freak out mode. One time I swear to God, I was about ready to get me off of this airplane. And this is odd because I've flown more people. I've flown a ton. and it never used to be a problem.
Well, you could be having the flashback of when you've been abducted and you realize that the door is shut where you're at and you can't get out. Do you ever think about that?
I can honestly say I have never, ever thought of that. Great. Thank you.
Well,
being abducted by aliens.
You're so welcome. You are so welcome.
That's true.
That'll give you a nightmare for tonight.
That could be a thing.
That's right. That was a trauma that happened, and you, every time that happens, that's a trigger for you.
That's so weird, because it just came out of the blue. Huh.
You're welcome. Yeah, you're welcome.
Right.
Anything else I can give you nightmares about?
No, I'm good. I think I probably will have nightmares now. I avoid airplanes now. It's like a big thing. Like I won't get on airplanes anymore.
Well, and I know the previous show that you had talked about your infancy and that you were adopted and your biological parents, he was in the military. A thought kind of came to my head, and I'm just going to throw this out there. Maybe they gave you up to protect you. Because, I mean, you've had some really odd things to happen to you. And the story that you told doesn't match something like somebody from the military, a family from the military. But it just kind of seems maybe they were protecting you, they were hiding you and hoping that nobody would ever find you, but yet you still have your alien encounters.
Maybe I'm some genetic experiment, and
they
stole me.
They probably could have saved you from the MK Ultra.
Yeah, they stole me from the Air Force.
You could have been a super soldier, Jason.
Oh, wow. I can hardly get up a flight of stairs without having to take a break. I wouldn't have made a super soldier.
Well, maybe they knew this when you were a baby, and they decided to protect you and put you up for adoption.
And I do not
you.
Don't have a superior intellect. I can barely spell, and I certainly can't do arithmetic. So.
Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah. So you're still being watched. You were being surveyed. You know, the surveillance. They were watching you, and yeah. See, your life has gone perfectly better than what it could have been. You could be an LSD junkie.
That's true. I'm sure that the military complex has a satellite dedicated to me. They're probably watching me right now. God, how embarrassing.
Well, how easy did you make it for them, honey? You're on Blog Talk.
Oh, I know, right? Facebook, Blog Talk, yeah. They're probably listening right now.
I've got one of those death towers that's not too far from my house, so I'm sure.
Death tower?
Yeah, the 5G, what they're trying to.
Oh.
They're nicknamed, yeah, the death towers.
Yeah, they're trying to get that rolling up here in Oregon, and people are trying to block it, and that's kind of scary. I've heard that there's probably not really healthy for you.
Yeah.
And they're short range,
there's
too.
There's a lot. Yes.
So they have to, so it's not like you just throw, you know, one big tower somewhere. They're short range, so you have to have a ton of towers.
Right. So, yeah.
But you'll have
and they're not real healthy.
Internet.
Well, supposedly, things up to make your life more convenient. To make your life easier, you don't have to wait for pages to download, faster this, faster that, and so we're going to put a death tower that's going to give you cancer in your backyard, and we'll even pay you for it if we put it on your land.
I don't even get me started on that. The level of electronic... what's a good word? I'm trying to think of a good word. You know, just pollution. The level of electronic pollution that we're already subjected to is outrageous, and I can only imagine what 5G does. And I don't even think there have been exhaustive studies on that. So get your glioblastomas ready. Brain cancer is going to be probably more of a thing.
This is true. There's a thing on, if you have an iPhone, and I don't know where to find it anywhere else, you can go into your settings, think, and then you can go, I'm trying to remember how this goes. There's something that explains to you the RF reading on it, and I'm trying to remember, it's in general. I'm pushing it on my phone now as I'm trying to find it. I don't remember where it is. But it explains, it gives you a link to let you know how much, like you should always, you should never put your phone up to your ear. You need to use a hands-free or headphones to keep it away from you.
That's a pretty good sign that maybe it's not healthy for you.
Right. Well, you know, and of course they've been yelling about microwaves forever. But yet every household has one, and everybody uses it, and everybody warms their food up with it, and everybody stands in front of it.
I think
I
heard that Russia, you can't even get microwaves in Russia. They're actually illegal.
Right. Oh, here we go. You go into settings. You go to general. You go to about. And then you scroll all the way down to legal. And then you hit the RF exposure. And then it tells you to reduce the exposure to RF energy, use a hands-free option such as a built-in speakerphone, the supplied headphones, or similar accessories. Cases with metal parts may change the RF performance of the device, including its compliance with the RF exposure guidelines, in a manner that has not been tested or certified. SR values for this device are available at www.apple.com/legal/RF exposure/iPhone9.2/EN. I want a new backsplash for my behind my stove, and I've got that on the brain, so that's why I guess. But anyway, so it's all out there. But how many times do we see legal stuff? Please read our terms and agree to them before you carry on. We don't read them. We just click.
Nobody reads that stuff.
No. We just want what we want to do and bypass it.
Yeah.
It's the kind of creatures we are now.
I like how your RF thing is like buried in the settings. Probably nobody would ever explore their phone that deep, you know.
Lord, no. Mm-mm. I just want to pick my phone up and use it when I need it, and I don't really care about the rest of it. And that's sad, and I know all of that's out there, but as many cancer-causing agents that's floating around out there, if we just went to Oregon and buried ourselves in a forest up there in the middle of nowhere, there's going to be something up there that's going to give us cancer. That's just how it is.
Yep. Well, I'm looking at the time here. It looks like we're just about out of time. Ah, time flies when you talk about cancer-causing radio frequencies and UFOs.
Yeah, and the nightmares that Jason's going to have tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. God, I never thought about that. Maybe my parents. I'll just start believing that my parents absconded me from a Air Force base because I was part of some sort of UFO project. And
yeah.
God, my parents are heroes. They saved me.
That's right. They saved you.
save me from experiments and anal probes.
And earlier in your life, and yet they, you know, it took, look how many years it took for them to find you in that small little trailer out in the middle of nowhere to bury that piece of metal, and then your life changed forever.
Absolutely.
After that.
Lord. All right. Well, looks somebody's going to be taking a Xanax tonight. I wish I had Xanax. I don't.
You're going to think twice about having me on next week, aren't you?
Yeah, if I get abducted or have anything weird happen or, like, start seeing myself followed by drones, I'm going to blame you because now you got me thinking about it.
That's okay. You got my phone number. You can text me.
Okay. All right. Well, do we have anything set up for next week, do you know?
I don't think so. I think we're wide open again, unless something comes up in between.
Cool. Well, always, you know, having guests is great, but it's always fun just to babble. We don't do that enough anyways.
No, we don't. And maybe I'll find us a few good paranormal stories to kick around. But that will be our homework between now and Sunday. We'll have to find some good paranormal things. And not only that, I mean, people can throw ideas up on our Facebook page.
Absolutely. Speaking of the
Facebook
page. Yeah, so I was looking at the stats on our little tiny Facebook page in the last week. Our posts, granted, they're all, you know, mostly memes, if not all memes, however the hell you say that, reached 185,000 people, which is astonishing.
Good Lord.
I know. We don't, you know. And we keep getting those likes. And so I mentioned to Sherry, I said, well, when we get to 5,000 likes, I think I'll do a giveaway, maybe some Amazon gift cards or something like that, to celebrate the occasion of 5,000 likes. And one of the thoughts I had is maybe I'll post a picture of myself, and then whoever comes up with the best roast will win. Roast me.
I found an old picture of you online, so this could be fun.
Yeah. I want to be brutally roasted. I mean, don't hold back. Nothing offends me. Nothing upsets me. It's hilarious. So I thought that would be kind of
fun.
All
right, that sounds like a challenge, and I think you need to put that out there on Facebook. Facebook world.
Absolutely.
Put it on our page. Go for it. That'd be great.
Yeah, it'd be fun. When we get close, so right now we're at 3,100 and some change, some likes. So I'm thinking we could probably hit 5,000 at our current rate. I mean, maybe a month. I don't know. Maybe less. Probably less.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, awesome. All right, with that, I'm going to go eat my Vietnamese food because I'm absolutely starving and I want to be abducted on a full stomach. So I guess we'll call it.
That sounds great. Have a wonderful night.
All right. Hope everybody has a safe and fantastic week, and we'll see you next week at 8 p.m. West Coast time, and talk to everybody later. Have a great week.